Welcome to the Remote Teacher Podcast. We're excited to have you here. I'm Heike Hustler, an experienced regional, rural and remote teacher, author of children's, middle and YA books and co-creator of the Facebook group Teachers in Remote Communities, Past, Present and Future, along with Carl Merrison and Lynette Gordon, and the co-owner of website The Remote Teacher. The Remote Teacher Podcast and all our support platforms come from a passion to improve the experience of remote teachers and in turn create positive outcomes for our remote students and communities. You can find out more about us on www.theremoteteacher.com.au, over on our Facebook group, Teachers in Remote Communities, Past, Present and Future, and of course by listening to this podcast. Now remember, you can also download these podcasts so you don't need internet access and you can listen to them wherever you need, including on your long drives out to your remote and rural communities. Please remember to like us on Facebook, on Instagram, and by signing up to our email list. And before I introduce our guest for today, it's important to acknowledge that the discussions that we have here are the opinion of the guest and myself alone and do not represent anyone, including Department of Education or any particular organisation, unless, of course, they've come on stating that they're representing that organisation. It's also important to consider First Nation peoples, communities, students and families are all diverse and unique, and what works for our guest and myself may or may not work for you, your students, your families, your communities and your schools. So take what you need, leave what you don't, sit back and enjoy. Let's begin.
I'm very happy to welcome Ben and Georgie from Footprint Placements. We've interacted a lot over on the Facebook group and I've seen them posting everywhere around the internet about the amazing job opportunities that they have. But before we begin our interview together, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians on the lands we meet today. I'm on the lands of the Bundjalung people of Northern Rivers and they're over on Yorta Yorta country, and we pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to any First Nations people listening along with our podcast today. So welcome to Ben and Georgie.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you very much for having us.
Your background and your adventures around Australia seem very interesting. So can you fill the listeners in on your background prior to remote teaching, maybe personal and career-wise?
Well, we actually met in London 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So I've always had a passion for traveling. We did a bit of travel then. We went to Egypt and Israel. I lived in Egypt for a while.
Yep.
Scotland.
Yeah, the usual Europe, you know, travels
young
for a couple of years.
Young person adventure.
And then it was time to come back to Australia, and we have moved around the country a fair bit since then. We then jumped on to uni and I did environmental science. Georgie did teaching, and then we got married in 2014 and we were umming and ahhing about what we were going to do, what direction we were going to go, and we thought, let's travel the country. But then an opportunity came up to go and teach in a remote community in Kunawarraji, actually in the eastern Pilbara there. And we took it and haven't looked back since, to be honest, actually. It's definitely been a life-changing experience and one that will forever be strong point in our heart, yeah.
We originally went out for a term. We extended for a term and then we stayed for 4 years.
It gets in your blood, yes.
Yes. Yeah, we even had our son's first birthday as well, so yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about that then, the best bits, the challenges, what life was like, I suppose, teaching there, but then also you've got the starting a young family there as well. That's another aspect to it.
For the first year, I was in the classroom as an assistant in the classroom, you know, not having been in a classroom before. So Georgie was definitely sort of the lead there. And yeah, we had a great time really connecting with a core group of students. I have to note that this particular campus is one of two campuses of the Brawa Community School, and it's at that time was a one-teacher school.
With six students.
So, but then that changed over the years. That changed from six to to 16 to 20,
21 when we
21,
left.
Yeah, when we left. So, yeah, it changed a fair bit. Yeah, so I stayed in the classroom there for a year. And, you know, we did jobs, obviously preparing meals and cooking and cleaning and really developing some really great and meaningful relationships with the kids, but also the community members as well. So I then moved from the school because I was able to get a role that was in line with my studies. So as a ranger coordinator. So, yeah, and started the first ranger team out there working for an organisation called KJ. So KJ had been around for many years at that point, but this was their first time they had a ranger coordinator based in Kununurraji. So, yeah, that was a great experience as well. And the ranger team really would look, some of them are still really close friends, the guys out there. They're just absolutely the most warm, welcoming sort of individuals you'll ever come across. Yeah, we had some great experiences.
I know that lots of the recruits that you support to go remote, but also lots of people thinking of going remote might have a partner that isn't a teacher like you were, that sometimes there's positions in school, sometimes there's positions outside of school, and sometimes it's about just going, finding your feet and seeing what's available. You support couples going remote as well, don't you?
I mean, we get asked daily, actually, you know, oh, I'm thinking about going remote, but my partner isn't a teacher. What options are there? And, you know, sometimes they're really, you know, we can go, right, yeah, there's definitely this community and this school is looking for a teacher and they have plenty of other roles in the community. Other times, you know, there's either nearby communities or there's other options around. But I would say, like in a large percentage of the cases, there is always an option for a partner to find some work, definitely.
And I think that's kind of the benefit of connecting with you both at Footprint Placements, because you know a lot of the schools around Australia, you know kind of the dynamics and where a couple or a teaching family even would fit amongst all
yes.
them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, last year we placed a teacher up in a Kimberley school, and she was traveling with her family in a caravan, and look, they needed someone for a short-term basis, and she was driving past. So yeah. She stayed for 10 weeks, enrolled her kids in the school. Her husband, I think, from memory, was a carpenter, so he was able to help out with his skills around. And look, then they moved on. So they were able to support the school when they had some time where they didn't have all their staff, and then moved on after that finished. So,
which really highlights some people are interested in remote teaching but don't know yet if it's good for them, if it's the right fit, if they've got the right things to bring, if the community will be the place that they need to end up. So Footprint Placements helps with short-term relief, 6 months, and then the longer contracts as well.
Yes, we've done from 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But usually it's a term onwards. Many go for a year. We've had a lot of people extend as well, which has been brilliant. Just absolutely loved it. And then decided they brought their family, their dogs, everywhere, and decided that's for them. So that's been absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I think as well, as we've done so much travelling, we love remote areas. So when we did travel, we actually drove past a lot of these areas we're placing the teachers now. It's really good to be able to know some of these areas.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. It highlights the importance of people committing for that 1 year and longer. We want to reduce the turnover in remote community schools. We want people to stay, love and connect, but also that there are this teacher shortage and it is hard to get relief teachers in remote communities. So, you know, being able to source those staff that you're talking about and connect people with the right schools is a really important role that you play in that space as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, look, your point is 100%. Reducing turnover is probably one of the main drivers behind what we do. But like you say, still, you know, staff need to leave for various reasons, whether it be short-term. They need short-term staff. So, yeah, so it does fill that sort of void there when it aligns. It can be tricky to find find people that are flexible enough and, you know, not currently teaching, you know, yes. to step into those roles. So, yeah.
Georgia, I'm really curious about, because on other podcasts, you know, we've spoken about the big picture, but I'm curious about these tiny classrooms and the impact of teaching just six kids in a day, or the challenges that come around some days there's six and some days there's 16 and some days there's 21. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
I chatted a lot with the community at the beginning about attendance and how the community really wanted all their kids at school. And just starting with those sort of chats, we had an extremely high attendance rate. When kids were in community, came to school, but we also in the mornings, the kids would, when they walked to school, they'd pick up the other kids. And yeah, time for school and those sort of things, because sometimes we'd get new families and I'd have a chat to them and they might just say, well, I may not know what time it is, so I don't know what time for the kids to go. And that was the barrier. So it was, okay, I'll talk to the kids. They're going to shout out, you know, one of their cousins or something, and I'm going to shout out, these kids are coming, and off they all went. And mostly the kids loved going to school. We started a lot of programs while we were there with the on-country learning, with partnership with when Ben started working for KJ as well, which was the Junior Ranger program. So that was absolutely brilliant. That's one of the most things I probably loved about in my entire teaching career.
Definitely taking those kids, you know, it's not, and this is where we took the back seat. We really took the back seat, you know, not physically, because a lot of the time I was driving, you know, the drivers, the direction, what are we doing? Where do the kids want to go? So my Rangers my Ranger team had a direction that was from the elders in the community. So then it sort of went down the chain of command, so to speak, where, you know, elders sort of set, priorities, and then the Rangers listened to them. And then the Rangers then passed that on to the kids and where we were going. And so, it was a sort of a beautiful meld of understanding.
Community lead. It was led by communities. It was grassroots.
And 100%. So we might say, let's go to this particular site for a day. Sometimes for a night. Sometimes, actually, with the school, we only did, you know, overnights with the kids, you know, because we did have some young kids there as well. So, yeah, we had a great experience. Yeah, completely community-led. And the kids really learnt so much, you know. We witnessed that firsthand.
All the kids loved coming to school. It wasn't just walk into the classroom, this is another whole in different world that you're going to walk into.
Yeah.
And we really tried to work with the community together, and the community was always welcome to come in. And
I think what I'm hearing is that you've got, you know, community led and community involvement, which is so important. You've got your strengths as an educator, Georgie, that you were bringing the curriculum. You knew what the, you know, outcomes you were trying to achieve, but you could do that in a space that Ben was supporting and the Rangers were leading out in community as well. So you're bringing everyone's kind of strengths to the table in this extra space you were creating.
I suppose as well, we really had to think about differentiation as well, because we had kids at completely different levels. So we may have had only six kids, you know, there might have been two at grade two level, but one might have been seven and one might have been 16. So you're not going to teach them the same thing either. Yeah. But then you want them all to be able to work together as well. But I think that's where that on-country and two-way learning really played well.
Definitely. Yeah. And look, I'm not going to lie, every time I speak to a principal or a new school that we haven't chatted to previously, I'm like excited, so excited when I hear the words, oh, we have these programs that we're doing, whether it be language or on country or anything else. Like it's perfect. And teachers want that. They want that experience. They want to learn about another culture, you know, they want to learn language. Yeah, we really enjoy it and get excited by it. So, yeah.
So then how did you both transition into the remote teacher recruitment space? How did you move on from community to that?
When traveling, I think we met so many people who were interested in what we did and going out to communities. People just didn't know how to get into it. And there's all these fantastic teachers we'd spoken to and said, that's something I would absolutely love to do and I just don't know how to. And that's really where the idea came from. Our background isn't in recruitment at all. It's in remote teaching and remote communities and
Yeah, we're that conduit for people to get involved in these remote areas. And yeah, we began this journey by reaching out to the schools and reaching out to the teachers on various platforms, including obviously your group. Yeah, and we were so impressed with the caliber of teachers, you know, that we chatted to. And you know, when I say caliber of teacher, I'm talking, yes, look, a fantastic you know, education and experience is amazing. Really, it's personality.
A willingness to learn from others.
Willingness to learn.
And listen.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. That listening with intent to others, that active listening, as a lot of people describe it, is so important. As I just interrupted Georgie there. Yeah, so when I chat to people, they're the type of things I'm picking up on, as well as your experience in your education as well. So now, look, we have schools reaching out to us.
Started in WA.
Yep.
Then we moved to NT and now Queensland as well, and placed primary teachers and secondary principals, coordinators and early years teachers. And we've had such great feedback from the principals as well as the teachers. Like, just loving that they've decided, I want to extend. Many at the start are like, I just want to go for a term because this is such a new thing for me. And I understand, we did the same thing. And then wanting to, it's just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Like there is, like we're talking about the positive, but there are also the challenges as well about the having that isolation. And
a lot of the time, you know, it's a foreign culture. It's a foreign, geographically, it's a, maybe it's unfamiliar environment, you know, the limited services that are out there. But once you adapt, are able to sort of look past that and really like engage and involve yourself in where you are, the experience is like, it's just such a good experience.
And I think that's where your footprint placements kind of steps in as well. Because number one, you're helping to sieve out people and help them figure out if remote teaching is for them or not. And then you kind of know the areas, so you're helping people figure out what would suit their needs. So whether they suit coastal or inland, big school, small school, and where they kind of fit. You have these connections across Australia now, like you said, WA, NT and Queensland, and you can help match the right people to the right places. But I think the strength of your recruitment service is that it's not just that. You don't kind of dump people in it and leave them there. You offer them this range of training and services, and then you're supporting people into their new roles as well. So
yeah, that's right.
That's a strength.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like you've sort of summarized it there quite well. We connect teachers with the schools that meet both of their needs. We have, you know, I had one family and taking out her four kids and a dog. You know, and you're not going to fit into every house that's out there. You're also going to have lots of people that might have medical requirements. So they need to be close to a certain service, like, I don't know, it might be Alice Springs or some sort of large centre, maybe Kununurra or Fitzroy Crossing. Yeah, or they go out with their partner, and like we mentioned before, you know, they can have this experience and their partner can find some employment as well. So
I think also some of the teachers, they're feeling uncomfortable to ask all the questions to the principal and feel like they might be just asking onwards and onwards and onwards, and they can ask us, and if we ask questions, if we can't, we reach out. So, and then just give that to them.
Yeah, Yeah, we do. That's right. We make those questions not so daunting, and those, you know, they're not afraid to ask. You know, they come and ask us, and like Georgie mentioned, we, you know, we can either answer it or we can't, and we'll say we can't. We'll find out the answer for them. Those third party providers for the training that we provide as well, from the Australian Childhood Foundation, which is the trauma informed practice in education.
So important.
So the teachers that we place have the opportunity to engage in this program that we'll pay for them, including the cultural competencies course from the Stronger Smarter Institute and then the mental health first aid for people that stay on for greater than 6 months. Yeah, so.
And we actually put a question out to your group asking remote teachers what was the best courses they have done and which was most beneficial, and they were the ones.
And you know what, in every podcast that we've done so far and constantly on the page, like you said, and in, you know, discussions around remote teaching, it is the constant things that come up is the need to be culturally aware, the need to be trauma-informed teaching and the importance of brain health and well-being as well. So you kind of, You're giving people this opportunity to step into classrooms in remote communities prepared and feeling more confident around these key important things. I think that's a really great thing that you offer for your service.
That's right.
Just a short break to share books and resources by Hake Your Hustler and Carl Merrison. The Children's Book Council of Australia Book Week Honour Book in 2019, Black Cockatoo, is a middle reader short novella set on Jaru country. While short, there are many jumping off points to explore. Tracks of the Missing is a WA Premier Book Award, Daisy Atamara Award, shortlisted YA suspense thriller. Set in outback Australia, it follows Declan Archer in his race to find a missing busload of students. My Deadly Boots is a First Nations picture book about confidence, identity, and connection. Carl and Hakia also have many more books out across the next few years, perfect for remote classrooms. Full teaching packs are available over on the website carlandhakia.com.au. We also create remote teacher resources, Getting to Know You, Two-Way Learning, NAIDOC, and much more over on our TPT store. So let's get back to this deadly interview.
And then, you know, we provide tips and hints for their resume, for their cover letter. You know, if they're going for a senior position, they might need to address certain points. And so we might sort of point them in the right direction of, have you considered, you know, looking at this, or even resumes. We do get a variety of resumes come through, and some are easier to read than others. And, you know, a little tweak here and there is all the difference. And sometimes it's just formatting, you know. Because we don't make the final decision for what the community and the school decide what teachers come to their community. So we present applications to the school, then they say yes or no. So in that presentation, you know, if there's a bit of a additional formatting, or their resume tells a bit more detail about their background or their experience or their education, then they're going to be start off on a better foot, you know.
This sounds really comprehensive to me, and I know it's not on our list of questions we were going to talk about, but I wonder then what the process is from reaching out to you to ending up with a job, because it sounds like you do a lot of connecting with the teacher, or perhaps you don't. Perhaps there's a chance just to, you know, fast track a bit. What's that like for recruits?
Fast tracking isn't really. It's hard to fast track. We do have a bit of a process. Georgie can chat about that.
So we get a lot of people connecting with us on Facebook. I'm the person they'll probably hear from first. A lot on Messenger or through the Facebook pages. I'll just have a little bit of a chat with them about what they're looking for, introducing ourselves to see if we'd be able to connect to them.
A little bit of a 5-minute chat sometimes. Yep. Like Georgie might say, hey, can you give this person a call, and I'll have a little chat with them. And then, you know, you pick up very quickly whether, you know, this might be something suitable for them or not.
When we get the resume, go through the resume, then have an interview, most likely with Ben, and then reference checking with their references.
Yep.
And then we discuss all the different opportunities as well, and then present them to a school. And usually then their application will go to a principal, and most likely it'll be some community members as well to make the final decision. Yeah.
So Georgie, if there was a principal then listening, it sounds like you do a lot of the hard work in regards to that reference checking as well. So you are presenting to them like a full package that, you know.
Yes.
That the teacher's been trained in the courses that you provide, that they've had the support from you, and that you've done the legwork on the application.
Yep, and we'll write a little description as well, exactly what the reference has stated as well, so they get a clearer idea.
Yeah. You're right. So it is a package that does come. It's a referenced, summarised sort of little description of this particular individual and what, you know, what role they're applying for.
Which gets me thinking again off our question list, but the longer term relationships that you then form with principals and schools, are you following up, doing further recruitment for them and kind of really getting to know their unique needs and school requirements?
Definitely. We've had principals come back multiple times looking for staff from us. And, you know, we are finding that that sort of a name precedes us in many ways. And
which has been excellent.
Which has been, yeah, fantastic. My sister was even at a wedding recently and got chatting to someone there, and they were a teacher at a school, not a remote school, but they'd already known all about us and had been thinking about going remote themselves, you know. So we're having a good time. We are really enjoying it. We love the relationship we have with each of the schools.
I think the feedback from principals has been brilliant, saying the caliber of teachers that have been coming out has been great.
Yeah.
I think that's been probably the one of the most rewarding parts about starting our business.
Yeah, definitely. And we get to share our remote experience as well with those teachers that we chat to and those the principals. And I suppose that's another way we connect with the schools themselves is going, right, we might not know your specific community. We don't, we may never have been there, but we have had an experience that shares lots of similarities.
Yes.
And can relate for most experiences that that people have had out there. Yeah.
But tell us about the benefits of teaching remote. Let's get some more eager people out into remote schools.
The main thing for me was actually learning from the community. I worked in a private school in Perth beforehand, so it's a little bit different. It was nothing I knew I was ever going to experience in my life. And then it actually does change your life. And I think I even see that probably the world a little bit different.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. It's life-changing, I hear.
But then professionally as well, with career progression, I started as a teacher and then I was head of campus as well.
Yeah.
Ben as well, like with going from the school to going to...
So I moved, started out as in that helping role, doing the cooking and cleaning and a bit of the teacher assistant sort of work and moving into an administrative role, which then morphed into a business support role. So I still work for a remote school, so in the Pilbara. So having that experience has been great to draw from. Yeah. And yes, like Georgie said, it's changed our lives for the better, most definitely.
So it's an amazing personal experience. You've got these leadership opportunities, this skill development and this fast track of skill development that perhaps you wouldn't have the opportunities to do in different types of schools.
That's right. But what Georgie said initially was really like those friendships and the communities that we've actually been in have just been excellent. I'm looking forward to the day that we're able to take our family back out to this community and back to Koonorogi and introduce my new little ones.
Yes.
You know, because I get asked questions a couple, fairly regularly about how they're going and all that sort of stuff. So it's truly a beautiful experience.
There's also the financial as well. So you go out, a lot of schools have housing provided. We didn't spend much money during the school term. We do a huge shop at the beginning of the term, take all that food out for 10 weeks worth. And then it was basically just spending money on your pie on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
But also, relocating can be costly. So a lot of these schools do provide that as well.
Yeah.
And then there's also bonuses for staying for extended periods of time.
Sure. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. But every school does differ in regards to financial incentives. And every state is different. Mm. And so I mean,
you'll help talk new recruits through that as well, because there's also the element of transfer points back. So whether someone wants to work interstate or stay in their home state so that they get those transfer points back or the long service leave or whatever else, comes with being in their local one compared to going interstate as well.
Yeah, it's very different depending on who you go with, whether it's the government, independent.
Sure.
Catholic.
Yeah, some don't transfer any at all.
Which is important for people to understand, because you work across all those different types of schools.
Yeah, so it's different in each state. We're currently independent and Catholic in WA, government and independent in NT, and government in Queensland. But it continually changes as schools, we have new schools approaching us all the time.
Yeah, wonderful. And then life on the road. At the moment, you have the impending birth of another little one, but you were on the road for a while there exploring Australia. And I think remote teaching obviously gave you that possibility as well with some leaders.
Yes, definitely. I went on parental leave after saving some money. Then we went travelling around Australia. We did go back during that time and we worked in Wurundjeri again. With my son.
I picked up an administrative role then, supporting the principal and all the worked on all the compliance sort of side of the school, you know, and logistics and orderings and bits and pieces.
All the fun stuff. Ben was doing all the fun stuff, Georgie, was he? Oh, golly.
I had come to school with Charlie, push him in a pram up to class, cooking away, and it was a great experience.
Yeah, no, it was excellent. Yeah, and then we went traveling, and we spent best part of 4 years on the road, and then had another baby on the road as well. And we visited. You know, we haven't been to all the communities because, you know, a lot of the times you have to be invited to come into these communities, and during that time was COVID, so that also locked out a lot of that access as well. But we travelled around, definitely, and, you know, if you saw a map of where we've been, we've crossed
the
Western
Country. Well, people can't they? Because you also have an Instagram page for your travels, which I'll put in the show notes, so people can see the map of where you've been adventuring.
Since we started Footprint Placements, our travel page, Out and About Australia, has sort of taken a back seat, you know. There's only so many.
You're raising a family now. It's a bit different than those same.
Yeah, we'll get something we get back onto, but it's Out and About Australia. Yeah. You'd see our map and it's a lot of red dirt.
But I think it's also a bit of an inspiration because it's like people see what the outback is actually looking like, and knowing what they can do with their remote long service leave or study leave in Northern Territory, or whatever it's called, the extra leave you get in some schools.
So yeah, that's right. We are more, there's no more happy at moment when we're camped up, we've got a campfire surrounded by Spinifex and red dirt, and it's like quietness, or the only sounds you have are the natural sounds and environment around you. So staring up at the stars, taking photos, just that's our holiday. You know, people like going overseas, the Maldives or something, but that's where we are most happy.
Is this for your relationship too? Number one, you're working in a small school together, probably in the same class, it sounds, and then all this time to be out in nature and just, you know, really reinforcing what you've both got and the adventures that you've both had sounds really exciting as well.
Our favourite thing to do while we're in community is we'd drive out, start a fire and watch the moon.
Yeah, we're really in sync with the moon cycles, that's for sure.
And where it was at, and we absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And just going to different areas and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time today to come and have a chat on the podcast. I'm really happy to see you both face-to-face in person because we've been tag-teaming all over the internet, so it's nice to meet you both.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, really appreciate it, Heike. And good luck and best of luck for the rest of your podcast series.
Thank you so much to both of you.
Each podcast episode, we also try and highlight or spotlight or do a shout out for amazing businesses, organizations, groups, and services that are working in remote communities. This could be run or owned by First Nations people, or services that regularly are committed to going into remote communities and listening and working with First Nations people. So here is our shout out and spotlight for this episode.
Lauren's Little Learners. Lauren was a pre-primary and year one teacher in remote Western Australia. In 2011, she decided that it was early childhood which drew the most passion, and she completed her master's in early childhood education. Lauren runs a blog, a TPT shop, and gives away freebies, but on her Instagram page, if you scroll back to her time when she was teaching at a Fitzroy Crossing in one of the communities around there, you'll see all the amazing activities that she did with her students and how she designed her classrooms and the way she interacted with her First Nations colleagues, and it's all on there on her Instagram page. So I highly recommend you give her a follow and that you jump onto her TPT store, because a lot of the stuff on there has been tested and used in remote outback classrooms as she was teaching as well. So that is a great business of a remote teacher that you can support today.
You've been listening to The Remote Teacher Podcast, a podcast where we discuss all things remote outback teaching. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, join our email list, and our Facebook group, Teachers in Remote Communities, Past, Present, and Future. Any important links mentioned or businesses or organizations to support your remote teaching that our guest has mentioned today will be in the show notes. So make sure you have a look at them to find out more. And a reminder again that this podcast can be downloaded so you can access it when you do not have internet coverage or reception. So you can listen to it on your long drives between communities in the outback. Thank you for listening. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode of The Remote Teacher.